Hello there, everyone. I'm back. It's Nathan here, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 12th of June, 2024.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have myself, Nathan, Ian, Christine, Helen, Mina, Simon, and of course, never forgetting the famous Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have the latest Beacon update from Helen. We have the quiz with Mina. From a classic music composer to events bringing the communities closer, we have the latest news for the Black Country. There's a nostalgic football section all about a successful amateur side from the 60s. Of course, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger. We hear from Mina, who has the latest forecast for the weather ahead, and it sure is rather unseasonal weather at the moment, but there's still plenty to get done outside. So we have our latest gardening update for June, looking at why leather jackets may be the reason our grass is not always greener. Confused? Yep, me too. Thankfully, we've got our gardening experts at MK Pulse magazine to explain all. Local news to start though with Ian, but first, Christine.
Residents of Dudley can drop by and say hello at 15 spots around the borough during Loneliness Awareness Week. Benches across Dudley Borough will be adopted for fun and conversation during the week from Monday, June 10th to Sunday, June 16th. There will also be activities run by Just Straight Talk, which will be focusing on loneliness awareness. People can simply drop by for a chat, some advice, or to take part in an activity at one of the benches decorated and staffed by a local community group. The Say Hello benches were inspired by the work of comedian John Bishop, who launched the Say Hello campaign in 2021 as part of Month of Community. The campaign aims to combat loneliness and encourage people to just say hello to each other. Following the success of the benches across the borough in 2022 and 2023, more places and activities have been added this time round. Benches will be located in Brierley Hill Town Centre, Silver Jubilee Park, Coesley, Dudley High Street, Grange Park, Dudley, DY1 Community Centre, Dudley, Abbey Street Park, Gornal, Hagley Street, Halesowen, Long Lane Library, Halesowen, Jasmine Road Community Gardens, Dudley, Dell Stadium, Stephens Park, Quarry Bank, Russell's Hall Park, Vicar Street Gardens, Sedgley, Woolascott Park Sensory Garden, and Dudley Street, Sedgley, where a team from Beacon will be present. Activities and times vary between benches, but include a choir, gardening activities, book swaps, exercise sessions, crafts, sight awareness activities, local information and support. For details on what is happening and where, visit the Dudley Public Health website, healthydudley.co.uk, or call Beacon on 01902 880 111. Maeda Abuafan, Dudley's Director of Public Health and Wellbeing, said, The Say Hello Benches project continues to grow in strength and ambition each year. We're really grateful to the community groups who have adopted these benches for the week and their thoughtfulness and generosity of spirit in taking part. I hope our residents make the most of this week and drop by their local Say Hello bench for a friendly natter and shared sense of community.
And students and staff at colleges across the region are also getting ready to thank their local communities with food and friendship. Colleges in the Black Country and Staffordshire will join fellow further education colleges in the region in preparing to host community events throughout June to encourage locals to come together for a few hours of friendship, food and fun. More than 1,000 people are set to attend lunches, afternoon teas and picnics, which will coincide with the year's Big Lunch project, to celebrate everything that makes the communities great. The project, which is being organised and run by the West Midlands Lieutenancy, will see invitations sent out to carers, volunteers, charities, partners and the elderly, as well as multi-faith and LGBTQ+ groups, to say thank you for all they do throughout the year. Deputy Lieutenants will be attending many of the events, which are taking place at colleges such as Dudley, Hales Owen, Sandwell, Wolverhampton, South Staffordshire College and Newcastle and Stafford College Group. The first set of lunches took place last week with a picnic-style lunch at Sandwell's Cadbury College on Tuesday, an afternoon tea at the Institute of Technology at Dudley College on Wednesday, and a big lunch hosted by Wolverhampton College on Friday. Designed to bring people together, students are getting involved with everything from organising the events through to catering, hospitality, photography and entertainment, and are also focusing on helping to make it as green as possible, from simple sustainable swaps to ideas to take forward in the local community. Lord Lieutenant for the West Midlands, Sir John Crabtree, OBE, said, "I'm delighted that so many colleges from right across the region are getting involved with this year's Big Lunch. Launched last year to coincide with the coronation, the initiative has really taken off and is set to be bigger and better than ever. With a sustainable and environmentally friendly theme this year, the West Midlands Lieutenancy is pleased to be supporting these important community events, and we hope everyone has a great time."
Up next, we hear from Helen, who, as usual, has our latest Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon, back with your weekly update, and what a week it's been. Over the past week, we have been celebrating our wonderful volunteers as part of National Volunteers Week. We'd like to give a heartfelt thank you to our amazing 197 volunteers at the Beacon Centre for the Blind. From befriending to clothes sorting in our shops, our volunteers contribute so much in 16 different roles, giving thousands of hours a year to make a difference. Whether they've been with us for 20 plus years or have just joined, we so appreciate their support in helping people to live well with sight loss. Their dedication and generosity help make Beacon what it is. And in celebration of National Volunteers Week, our staff spent one day calling some volunteers to express our thanks for their incredible support. Now, next this week, are you looking for a new role? Well, we're hiring here at Beacon. We're after an IT and assistive technology trainer. Why not join our team and make a difference? We're looking for a skilled IT and assistive technology trainer to provide learning and development opportunities for people who are blind or partially sighted. If you've got a proven track record in delivering IT and digital training, we want to hear from you. The salary is £24,000 to £27,000 per annum, full-time equivalent. The location is in Sedgley and across our operating area, and it's 30 hours a week across 4 or 5 days. Ideal candidates should have exceptional communication skills, proficiency in MS Office applications, a keen interest in technology and assistive technology, and a strong desire to make a positive impact. For more details, visit our website www.beaconvision.org/jobs. The closing date is June the 14th, and if you'd like to have a chat with us about an application, call 01902 880 111. Now, as you know, at the Beacon Centre, we're committed to helping people live well with sight loss. You can support our mission by saving, what? Yeah, your loose change. Order your free loose change box today and start collecting those spare coins. Every penny counts. Contact our reception team on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org to get your free change box now. Let's turn small change into a big difference. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Next up, we have another block of local news. And up first, we hear from Christine.
Last week, the Bank of England confirmed notes carrying the portrait of King Charles III were issued for the first time on June the 5th. The portrait of Charles will appear on existing designs of all four banknotes, £5, £10, £20 and £50, with no other changes to the existing designs. Polymer banknotes featuring the portrait of the late Queen Elizabeth II will remain legal tender and will co-circulate alongside the King Charles III notes. The new banknotes will only be printed to replace those that are worn and to meet any overall increase in demand for banknotes. The Bank of England said its approach is in line with guidance from the Royal Household to minimise the environmental and financial impact of this change. This means that people will start to see the new King Charles banknotes in their wallet very gradually. Images of the new King Charles banknotes were first unveiled in December 2022. The King's image will appear on the front of the banknotes as well as in cameo in the see-through security window. Although the notes that entered circulation on June 5th featured a new portrait of the monarch, the reverse side of each note will remain unchanged. The current series of banknotes features Sir Winston Churchill on the £5, Jane Austen on the £10, J.M.W. Turner on the £20 and Alan Turing on the £50. People will be able to exchange Queen Elizabeth II banknotes for King Charles banknotes through the Bank of England, although certain restrictions will apply. The bank said further details about this will be provided closer to the time. Coins bearing the official effigy of the King first appeared in circulation in post offices around the UK from December 2022. The first Bank of England note to feature Queen Elizabeth II's portrait was a £1 note issued in 1960.
Being able to distinguish a £2 coin from a £1 coin and recognise money is crucial to independence. It enables us to shop independently, securely and effectively. While many businesses take alternate payment methods such as debit cards and even bank transfers in certain situations, some businesses still prefer cash, and this is when being able to successfully recognise money is essential. Many visually impaired people admit to handing over their wallets to shop assistants or asking a stranger for help with their PIN number at a cash point, both of which can be dangerous and reduce independence. So here are some top tips from some leading sight loss charities to help you manage your money with confidence.
Identifying coins. Coins can be distinguished by rubbing your fingernail over the edge of the coin. In the UK, they are in pairs. The contrast in size in each pair, as well as the different edges and colours of the metals, make it easier for blind or partially sighted people to identify the coins. Here are a few tips. 1p with 2p. Have a smooth edge. The 1p being smaller and the 2p being the larger coin, made with a copper-coloured metal. 5p with 10p. Have a rough edge. The 5p being smaller and the 10p being the larger coin, made of nickel, a silver colour. 20p with 50p. Have an angular edge. The 20p being smaller and the 50p being the larger coin, made of nickel, a silver colour. £1 with £2. Much thicker edges than the other coins. The £1 being smaller and the £2 being the larger coin, made with a gold and a silver coloured metal.
Learn how to recognise banknotes. As of the 20th of February 2020, polymer £5, £10 and £20 banknotes have been in circulation, with a polymer £50 banknote released in 2021. Like the old paper banknotes, they are different sizes. However, the polymer banknotes have an additional tactile feature so that visually impaired people can distinguish between the different notes without any aids or support, and without the need to be organised before going out. The clusters of raised dots are square-shaped, with four dots in each square. For those who are familiar with Braille, the dots form the same shape as a Braille letter G. The Bank of England acknowledges that the purpose of the tactile feature is to help visually impaired people identify each banknote, highlighting that they were considered throughout the design process. The new banknote design allows visually impaired people to manage cash more efficiently and spontaneously. It is a great example of how such a vital product can go from being partially accessible to very accessible through a simple design tweak. £5. The £5 note does not have any tactile feature. However, it is the only polymer banknote in circulation that does not have any tactile feature. So the absence of the tactile feature indicates its £5 denomination. £10. The £10 polymer banknote features two clusters of raised dots. £20. The £20 polymer banknote features three clusters of raised dots. And if you've been lucky enough to have a few £50 notes in your wallet, you'll know the £50 polymer banknote features four clusters of raised dots.
Some other useful tips. Look out for audio cash machines. Most cash machines in the UK are now audio cash points with a port for headphones. The keypads should also have a raised dot on the number 5, which helps to navigate the numbers when using it. You can find nearby audio ATMs using the app Link ATM Locator, a free app that identifies your closest ATM and lets you know whether it has an audio feature. Try image recognition technology. There are lots of applications, apps, that use AI, artificial intelligence, to narrate the world around you. Examples of which are Microsoft's Seeing AI and Google's Google Lookout. Both apps are free to download from the App Store on your smartphone and/or tablet. They may be able to help with tasks such as reading handwriting, letters or newspapers, recognising people, identifying food labels or medication boxes, and through the currency mode, identify different banknotes. A low-tech solution is to only carry a single denomination. This would guarantee that you always knew how much you were paying at a checkout in a shop. You can also purchase a banknote detector, a small device which will read your note and vibrate 1 to 4 times, indicating the denomination. Another solution may be to carry a purse or wallet with multiple compartments so that you can store each denomination in a different section of your wallet. However, this involves being organised and preparing before you go out. Now it's time to test your knowledge, as we have the quiz questions for this edition brought to us by Mina.
Hello and welcome to this week's flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, these are your questions. Here we go. Question 1. What animal sleeps with one eye open? Question 2. What powered the earliest vacuum cleaners? Question 3. Where in their bodies are dogs' sweat glands? Question 4. Where was the first McDonald's drive-thru? Question 5. What is that pigs can't do? And finally, question 6. How long did it take for a Swedish lady's lost wedding ring to turn up? I will be back with you later in the show to give you all the answers, but for now, best of luck!
Cheers for those questions, Mina. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news.
Over the past few years, more people than ever have welcomed new dogs into their homes, leading to a surge in dog ownership, as reported by the Kennel Club. With 221 different pedigree dog breeds available, choosing the right one involves careful consideration of size and the energy levels of both dog and owner. One sad reality of having a dog is that we often outlive them, as the average dog lives just over 11 years. However, there is a significant difference in the lifespans of various breeds. The shortest average lifespan on our list of popular breeds is just 4.56 years, while the breed most likely to live the longest comes in at 12.72 years. A recent study published in the journal Scientific Reports utilised data from the Royal Veterinary College's Veterinary Companion Animal Surveillance System, Vet Compass, which contains information on over 2 million animals. Researchers analysed a random sample of 30,563 dogs that died between January 1, 2016 and July 31, 2020, to determine the average life expectancy of some of the UK's most popular dog breeds. Here's what they found. Jack Russell Terrier. The Jack Russell Terrier was the longest living breed that the study looked at, with an average age of 12.72 years. Yorkshire Terrier. Small dogs tend to live longer than large dogs, so it's no surprise to see the tiny Yorkshire Terrier coming second in this list, with an average lifespan of 12.54 years. Border Collie. The world's most intelligent dog breed, the Border Collie is also one of the most long-lived, with an expected life of 12.10 years. Springer Spaniel. The lively Springer Spaniel is expected to live around 11.92 years.
Labrador Retriever. Britain's most popular dog, the Labrador Retriever has an above-average lifespan of 11.77 years.
Staffordshire Bull Terrier. The loving and often misunderstood Staffordshire Bull Terrier has an average lifespan of 11.33 years. Cocker Spaniel. Originally bred to be gun dogs, Cocker Spaniels reach an average age of 11.31 years. Shih Tzu. Originating in Tibet, the Shih Tzu is a popular companion dog that researchers found will live to an average age of 11.05 years.
Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, known for being gentle and affectionate. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel can expect to live for an average of 10.45 years.
German Shepherd. Popular with the army and police forces, the German Shepherd lives for an average of 10.16 years.
Boxer. The Goofy Boxer has an average lifespan of 10.04 years, according to the research.
Beagle. A boisterous scent hound, beagles have an average lifespan of 9.85 years.
Husky. The hardy Arctic sledge dog. The husky is expected to clock up an average age of 9.53 years. Chihuahua. A 21-year-old Chihuahua was recently named the world's oldest living dog, but the average pup only lives for an average of 7.91 years. American Bulldog. All four of the dog breeds that have the shortest lifespans, starting with the American Bulldog, are brachycephalic, flat-faced. The lower life expectancies are associated with the animal suffering from several conditions, including breathing problems and spinal disease. The American Bulldog lives for an average of 7.79 years. Pug. Pugs are cute but are prone to developing a host of health issues, giving these small dogs an average age of 7.65 years. English Bulldog. The English Bulldog is another flat-faced breed that lives a relatively short life, an average of 7.39 years. French Bulldog. The Bulldog has seen a huge surge in popularity in recent years, but they also have the shortest lifespan, averaging just 4.53 years.
Now, over 7,000 people in the UK rely on an assistance dog, the majority of whom are guide dog handlers, but also include dogs trained to help wheelchair users, those with other physical disabilities, deaf or autistic individuals, as well as medical detection. Assistance dogs are highly trained animals whose job it is to help an individual traverse the world around them. They come in all shapes and sizes, though Labradors and Golden Retrievers are by far the most common. Pretty much any breed of dog can be trained to provide assistance and provide the additional emotional benefits and greater independence that such dogs can bring. However, organisations large and small have had to eat humble pie recently after refusing entry to assistance dogs. Sounding contributor Nikki now recounts the stories of people who have found redress after their assistance dogs were not allowed into shops, cafes, hospitals, and taxis.
Hello, this is Nikki with an article written by Fiona titled, "Is the Tide Turning Against Those Who Refuse Access to Assistance Dogs?" Can you guess what these people have in common? It leaves you feeling angry, frustrated, upset, and in the end, anxious. As a mother with an ill child, I should not have to also deal with additional fear and stress. It just feels the north side of unacceptable to me. Mel Griffiths in Nottingham, Amy Kavanagh in Isleworth, and Sean Dilly in London all have visual impairment and are speaking about their experiences in being refused access with their guide dogs. Mel Griffiths and her husband Gavin, who is also blind, were left stranded when a pre-booked taxi driver refused to pick them up with their guide dogs. Dr. Amy Kavanagh was seeking urgent medical care for her daughter when a hospital security guard tried to stop her entering because she was with her guide dog. BBC correspondent Sean Dilly was told his guide dog was not allowed in Tesco supermarkets twice in 1 week. However, each of these unpleasant encounters had an unexpected outcome, which suggests that the tide may be turning against those who refuse access to assistance dogs. The taxi driver who refused to pick up Mel and Gavin was found guilty at Nottingham Magistrates Court of failing to fulfil a booking made by a disabled person due to the presence of an assistance dog. He was fined £288 and was also ordered to pay a £34 victim surcharge and £100 in compensation to both victims, as well as a contribution of £500 towards the prosecution costs. Amy received an apology from the NHS Trust, and having been contacted by The Guardian, which highlighted the story, a spokesperson for the Trust said, We have contacted the patient to offer our sincere apologies and, importantly, to ensure that appropriate action will take place following an immediate internal review. Sean Dilley recorded the incidents in Tesco on a body-worn camera and reported them with his comments on BBC London. On hearing of Sean's difficulties, Clive Wood of Guide Dogs Charity said, "It's shocking, it's disappointing, and actually it shouldn't happen. We feel that businesses should provide the correct training for their staff so that they are aware that guide and other assistance dogs should be allowed into their properties." Commenting, Tesco said, "We were really sorry to hear about this. Everyone is welcome at Tesco, and it is unacceptable to be challenged when entering a store with a guide dog. We immediately spoke with the colleagues involved, and we are rolling out more training on guide dogs for all security officers in our stores." It seems that more and more offenders are being hit where it hurts, not only in being embarrassed into making public apologies, but in their pockets too, and not just in the UK. Little Ireland was ordered to pay €8,000, £6,833, compensation to the mother of an autistic boy who was left distressed by repeated demands that the boy's assistance dog be removed from a Little store in Dublin. The Workplace Relations Commission adjudicator ordered Little Ireland to pay them compensation to the mother for discrimination under the Equal Status Act, as well as the distress suffered by her son. In Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, a human rights tribunal ruled in favour of a visually impaired woman who says a Vancouver cafe discriminated against her. Georgia Pike uses a guide dog to navigate. She said she and her father were refused service by the Ooh La La Cafe because they were accompanied at the time by her guide dog Granger. After she spent nearly 4 years fighting her case, the tribunal found the cafe's actions to be discriminatory and ordered it to pay Georgia $12,000, £7,000. She said afterwards she is grateful for the outcome and the support she received from her father and the University of Victoria Law Centre, but says she wishes the process was simpler. There's no doubt a lot more has still to be done in highlighting the problems faced by people who have assistance dogs. Guide Dogs research shows that 75% of assistance dog owners have experienced an access refusal at some point, with 20% of those in supermarkets. The UK's government's Disability Action Plan, which was launched in February this year, lists 32 actions, including educating businesses about the legal rights of assistance dog owners. A new working group with representatives from the guide dog and assistance animal sector will make recommendations to the government on how to improve support for people with guide dog and assistance dogs. This working group will make initial recommendations to the government after 6 months and final recommendations within 12 months. It looks a long road ahead. Meanwhile, we may have to continue doing what we in Britain tend to shy away from, complain.
TNF Soundings.
More local news to follow, but now Pete's got an idea to help with the visual discomfort of sunshine.
If you need help with sight loss, then filter glasses might help you. Filter glasses are a range of glasses specially for sight loss, designed to protect your eyes from harmful UV rays and reduce glare and bright light, and also improve contrast as well. They make things clearer to see and your eyes more comfortable. They can either be worn on their own, or you can wear them over your existing prescription glasses. Wearing a sun hat or a baseball cap or a sun visor can also help too. So if you'd like to try the range of Cocoon filter glasses and find the right lens and frame to make life a bit more comfortable for you, then call Beacon Sight Loss Advisors for an appointment. You can call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
Shawaddy Waddy are on a 50th anniversary concert tour and will bring their colourful all-singing and all-dancing show to Brierley Hill Civic Hall later this month. The band, formed in Leicester in 1973, have sold over 20 million records and have toured all four corners of the globe. Known for their uplifting rock and roll and sharp suits, they will be belting out all of their best-known hits, including Under the Moon of Love, Hey Rock and Roll, Pretty Little Angel Eyes, and many more. It is one of many events still to come in June, including Michael Jackson, The Legacy, Starring internationally renowned artist CJ, a live band and dance troupe, all the hits from Bad to Thriller will be played out, and the outstanding production is said to be the nearest thing to seeing a live Michael Jackson show that you can get. Jersey Beats takes place on Friday, June 28th, which celebrates the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and there are also shows featuring soul music, songs from the musicals and hits from the 80s. For more information on all events, you can call the box office on 01384 573 381.
Now, from the rock and roll of the 70s to one of the region's most famous composers of classical music. As a blue plaque has been unveiled to celebrate the life of a rector's daughter with a passion for cycling and ties to the composer Edward Elgar. The Worcestershire-born composer of the late 19th century, whose works, characterised by bold tunes, striking colour effects and mastery of large forms, stimulated a renaissance of English music, first met Dora Penny, who is also known as Dora Bella, in 1895, to whom in 1897 he famously sent a coded message, now known as the Dora Bella Cipher. The cipher, consisting of 87 characters spread over three lines, appears to be made up from 24 symbols, each symbol consisting of one, two, or three approximate semicircles oriented in one of eight directions. Penny never managed to decipher the note, and its meaning remains unknown. She's also known for accompanying Elgar to watch his first Wolverhampton Wanderers match in 1896 and for being an inspiration for some of his most famous music. Ms. Penny moved to Wolverhampton at the age of 21 when her father became the rector of St. Peter's Church in the city. Elgar, who was 40 at the time, came to stay with the family because his wife was a friend of Ms. Penny's stepmother. Later, he named Variation 10 of his 1899 Variations, Dora Bella, as a dedication to her. The society said she was also notable for her singing, performing and conducting her own string orchestra, and causing eyebrows to be raised for her performance of comic operas. She was known for her long-distance cycle rides, including a tour of 398 miles, and some credit her with inspiring Elgar to take up cycling himself. In 1937, she published the story of her days at the old rectory in Wolverhampton and the times she spent with Elgar and his family. The plaque at her former home has been arranged by the Wolverhampton Society and was unveiled last week.
Up next, it's trivia time, brought to us by Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature. Take it away, Roger.
Oh, hello again, everyone. Well, this week's batch really surprised me, so I hope that you're surprised too. So without further ado, I shall begin. Now then, did you know that? Dolphins actually sleep with one eye open. Dolphins are known to be one of the smartest animals on the planet. Because they must be constantly on the lookout for predators, the marine mammals have developed a neat trick of maintaining partial consciousness by being able to keep one eye open as the part of their brain sleeps. And what about this for housekeeping? One of the earliest known vacuum cleaners was so large that it had to be hauled from house to house via a horse-drawn carriage. Its giant hoses were popped through the windows of customers, and a gas-powered motor generated the suction that pulled the dirt and debris into a glass container where onlookers could gawk at the volume of filth coming from their neighbours' homes. And unlike us humans, who can sweat from their skin just about anywhere on their bodies, dogs don't sweat all over. They rely on only their paw pads to release sweat. Additionally, a dog's paws do not produce much sweat at all, so this is not the ideal way for a dog to keep themselves cool when it's hot outside. And while we're on the subject, pigs don't sweat at all. If someone tells you that they're sweating like a pig, you might want to point out to them that it would be really mean that they were not sweating at all. Swine are born without sweat glands, so when they need to cool off, their only option tends to be to find a cool puddle of mud in which they can roll around. And the first McDonald's drive-through was installed in a restaurant based in Arizona, located near a military installation. Military rules forbid the soldiers from wearing their military uniforms in public, so the restaurant manager cut a hole into a wall to allow members of the military to pick up their orders without stepping out of their car. The convenience and simplicity of the idea quickly caught on. And then across the world, a woman in Sweden lost her wedding ring while cooking for Christmas in 1995. She looked everywhere for it, but she wouldn't see it again until 2012. While gardening 16 years later, she found the ring around a carrot that was growing there. The only explanation was that the ring must have been lost in vegetable peelings that were turned into compost. I suppose you could say it was a wadden carrot ring. Well, that's it for this week then, folks. What a cornucopia of little gems. I do hope that you enjoyed. Any road up, I'm off. A cuppa and a slice of bread pudding are waiting for me, so I'll clear off and tuck in. See you next week then. So keep well and keep safe. Bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, Mina here. Hope you're all keeping well. The weather for this week ahead is looking like it's going to remain unsettled, with some sunny spells but equal measures of rain too. Temperatures have recently taken a slight dip and will continue to remain a bit on the cooler side this week as well. In result, UV levels will range from low to medium. The sunrise and sunset times are 4:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:35 p.m. for the sunset. Rain is set to be present in full force on Friday, 14th of June, as any showers that set in early on may not be shifting anywhere fast. There's chance of some sunny intervals brightening things up in the afternoon, but the light rain showers look like they are continuing long into the night. With a gentle breeze, temperatures are forecast to feel more like 15 degrees. Moving on, and the unsettled pattern looks set to continue into the weekend, with both Saturday and Sunday bringing a mix of prolonged rain with a possibility of some sunny intervals in the afternoon. The breeze will be gentle and coming in from the west, so temperatures should reflect this and may feel a little bit more pleasant at 17 degrees. And if you're hoping things will begin to improve as we move into next week, then I'm very sorry to disappoint you. It looks like lengthy spells of rain are expected from Monday 17th of June right through to Thursday 20th of June, with even a chance of them becoming thundery as we shift towards the end of the week. Although the breeze will remain, it will be westerly winds, so despite all the wet weather, when the sun breaks through, temperatures will continue to feel pleasant at around 17 degrees. So there we have it, another mixed bag of unseasonal forecasts. Have a wonderful week and enjoy the weather.
Cheers for that weather update, Mina. Up now, we have a special edition of this week's sports feature.
Members of a disbanded amateur football team are reuniting 59 years on from winning the Wolverhampton Amateur League. Springfield Youth Club Old Boys clinched the title in 1965, scoring 200 goals in the process, which was a record at the time. James Barrett, who played inside right, is one of seven players still alive from that triumphant season who will meet this week. Discussing his amateur career and love for the sport, he said, "I always loved football. I didn't get married until I was 40 because I did not have room for another love." The 84-year-old from Wolverhampton is now retired, but used to work as a mechanical fitter in an iron foundry whenever he was not on the football pitch. After entering the Wolverhampton Amateur League, Springfield Youth Club Old Boys lost their first game 16-1. They also went on to lose many of the games that season as they adapted to playing against grown men. "It was a shock to the system. We thought we could just walk on and win, like we did in the Youth League. We lost a lot of games," recalled Mr. Barrett. But from 1963, the team became feared by the league, and a year later they won their league title. The team's success could not be maintained though, as key players started getting married and having less time for football, leading to the team disbanding. Many players have since passed away, including Mr. Barrett's best friend John Hines, who captained the team. Those who remain have stayed in touch and now meet up twice a year at Christmas and in the summer. Mr. Barrett said, "We are a good bunch of lads. We share memories of what we used to do and what we used to get up to."
Now, here come the quiz answers, and they're brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Feeling confident? How will you score? Let's see. Question 1. What animal sleeps with one eye open? And the answer? A dolphin. Question 2. What powered the earliest vacuum cleaners? And the answer? It was powered by steam. Question 3. Where in their bodies are dogs' sweat glands? And the answer? In their feet. Question 4. Where was the first McDonald's drive-thru? And the answer? It was Arizona. Question 5. What is that pigs can't do? And the answer here is they don't sweat. And finally, question 6. How long did it take for a Swedish lady's lost wedding ring to turn up? And the answer? It took 16 years. Wow. Did you get them all right? If not, not to worry, as I will be back next week to test you all once again. Bye for now.
Want to know how to get ahead in the garden this coming season? Here's some tips from the experts at MK Pulse magazine.
CNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Jan with some seasonal tips and ideas from the gardening expert at the MK Pulse magazine based in Milton Keynes. The early bird catches the leather jacket. A well-kept lawn is the motivation for many an hour spent eliminating weeds and walking that mower up and down. So it can be devastating to watch your green space developing patches of yellowish brown before dying. It makes for a nasty sight. And if you lift the devastated turf, you will find the cause of the issue. Leather jackets living and munching in the surface layers of the soil. Worm-like in appearance, they are easy to distinguish, with greyish-brown bodies which can be up to 30 millimetres in length. Leather jackets are the larvae of craneflies. Most get their kicks from algae and organic matter, but some feed on living plants, and those are the ones that could cause you problems. Veggie plots can also suffer, and larvae numbers can be swelled after a damp autumn. The problem with leather jackets is often one that accompanies new build properties. Why? Because these grey wrigglies are fussy eaters, with a penchant for fresh new turf, and young lawns have particularly sweet, tender roots. They like their greens, or rather they like our greens. So, you know what they are, but how do you eliminate them? Well, that's the trickier part. The local feathered population will stick their beaks in, quite literally. Birds love munching on the jackets, and if your garden is suddenly a haven for crows, magpies and starlings nibbling around the lawn, that's a good indication you may have an issue. If you believe your garden has a problem with the larvae, covering the lawn overnight with plastic sheeting will encourage the leather jackets to rise to the surface. Remove the sheeting in the morning and the birds will have an easy feast. But of course, while being helpful, birds can sometimes make for even more destruction. Running around with pesticides and nasties isn't an option. You can remove them by hand, which will be laborious, but if done regularly will help to control numbers. But introducing nematodes is the smart option. Nematodes will devastate leather jackets, but won't harm pets, children, birds, or other wildlife. And what is a nematode? Well, in short, they are microscopic worms that enter the grubs, infecting them with a bacterial disease that causes their demise. The nematodes are invisible to the naked eye and purchased in powder form, which needs to be mixed with water to activate. When a leather jacket has been destroyed, the nematodes multiply and head back out to search for more victims. It's like a real-life horror story playing out beneath the soil. Once an infestation has been dealt with, which will take time, you need to turn all attention to supporting your grass in its recovery. Feeding the roots and keeping the grass cut short is perfect. Unfortunately, if it pulls up easily at the roots, you will need to reseed. To give your grass the best chance of recovery, always act quickly, because infestations are no laughing matter. So, how does your garden grow? June might be the hottest month, and watering the plants will be a priority. Feeding productive plants is most important. Read the instructions carefully. Pour the concentrate into the watering can, then add water from the butt or tap. Stir the mix when the can is full. Water the compost slowly until it's damp, rather than watering quickly and letting the water run out of the pot into the base. Damping down the floor of the greenhouse is a must, and good ventilation must be practiced as well. The tomato plants are doing well in the growing bag, supported by canes, as are those in large pots and in a raised bed. Side shoots have been removed where necessary, and all have been fed with a high potash liquid fertilizer. Potatoes in large pots are all growing vigorously and have been gradually filled up with soil. The celery plants, growing in modules, will be planted out. We'll try to grow them properly in a trench, 20 centimetres 8 inches deep and 30 centimetres 12 inches apart, in two rows, gradually earthing them up to blanch the stems. The larger sweet corn seedlings may also be planted now, not in rows but squares or blocks, to enable the wind to pollinate them, whatever the direction of the wind. It will soon be the longest day. Let us make the most of it.
DNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!